He is no ordinary average guy. It's Michael Harrison, as promised, joining us on the phone this morning. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Caleb. It's great to be the guest of the guest host.
isn't that interesting? What...
So let's not put our feet up on the furniture. Let's be very polite so they don't throw us out.
Yeah, how do you like having the roles reversed, if you will? You're the guest, and I'm the host, where you're usually the one doing the interview.
Yeah, I love being a guest, because being a guest, you don't have to do all the hard work, the transitions, the intros, the outros, watching the clock. You get to talk, whereas when you're the host and you do most of the talking, it sounds self-serving and rude. So for me, this is kind of fun.
All right. Well, I'll play the self-serving and rude role then this morning, and you can take it easy. Michael Harrison, very interesting guy. I don't really know where to start with your resume, but he is heard here on WPHM Saturdays now from noon to 1 p.m. He hosts a one-hour show called The Michael Harrison Wrap, which is a really interesting look at the past week in review, if you will, from a variety of different topics. You run down the list of the most talked about issues in America that week, and you do it through the lens of talk media. And you, in fact, are the publisher and editor of Talkers Magazine as well, right?
Correct, and that's where we get tremendous research. The beginning of the show, we count down and comment on the 10 most talked about topics, and there are a lot of ties, so usually it's about 15 or 20 topics that are really being talked about on talk stations just such as yours. And then we go into a series of maybe two or three interviews with talk personalities from around the country and try to get a variety of perspectives on the hottest issues. And it's been very successful. The show's about a year and a half old, and it's growing, and we're really delighted that it's on at WPHM.
And you do get a wide variety of perspectives. I hear a lot of different voices on there and a lot of different opinions expressed in your show. So I think you do a really good job of gathering up all these different viewpoints and putting them together and producing them into a very succinct, fast-paced segment. You know, you're never bored listening to your Michael Harrison Wrap. It's very fast-paced.
Well, you know, you have to be somewhat fast-paced today in the media because people don't have time. Time is a very precious commodity. I've said a number of times as we get deeper into the 21st century that the commodities that will be precious as we go forward into the digital era, one is clean water, the other is privacy, and the other is time.
Mm.
People will pay money for something that is otherwise free if it saves them time. And we're seeing that in so many different ways. So, there's a great art, and I'm constantly learning it because I could tend to be long-winded and very verbose. But there's a great art in brevity, being able to get the most information across in the fewest words.
Michael Harrison hosts the Michael Harrison Wrap, which you hear on WPHM Saturdays, noon to 1. He is the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine, which is affectionately called the Bible of Talk Radio. But Michael, you did not start out in the talk industry. Can you walk us back to your early days in radio? And you coined a very familiar phrase, abbreviation, if you will, called AOR. What does that mean?
AOR is a term that became very, very widespread in the radio industry. It's called album-oriented rock. Very simple. And I coined that term back in the early 70s. I was one of the original underground FM rock DJs and program directors. And I also was in the trades. I was the first managing editor of Radio and Records when that trade publication, which had a 40-year run but is no longer in business, when that was first launched. And we were trying to come up with a way of describing this FM album rock scene that wasn't a turnoff to the agencies and to the establishment in radio, that it wasn't just a bunch of kids on acid, or that it wasn't counterproductive to the security of the United States. It was a very turbulent time. So one of the popular mainstream formats in those days was called middle of the road, which I guess you can call today. Its air is adult contemporary.
Yeah.
And middle of the road was MOR radio, and you couldn't be safer with anything more than middle of the road MOR radio. That was the ultimate establishment thing. So I figured let's give a little tinge of establishment to this underground scene so that this format can continue to grow and, you know, enjoy the benefits of research and packaging and programming and distribution and all the things that the rest of radio has, because it was chaotic originally. And so I came up with album oriented rock. And that was AOR as opposed to MOR, and it caught on like wildfire within a couple of years of me launching it at a station in San Diego that I was programming, KPRI, which was the first AOR station. There were hundreds of stations around the country that called themselves AOR, and I was very much, in those days, played the same role in rock radio that I play today in talk radio. You gotta understand, a lot of years have gone by. I've been publishing talkers. This is our 30th, that's right, 30, our 30th anniversary year. And when I started talkers in 1990, I had already been a seasoned veteran in the radio business. I can't believe how many things I've done.
So how did you make that?
I guess I'm old.
how did you make that transition, Michael, from going from the music side of radio, the AOR format, to talk? It seems like a complete 180.
Back in the early days of my career, I was at I started a station on Long Island called WLIR, which was a real underground progressive station. And by the time,
ooh, that's, isn't that now old, a talk station, Michael?
WLIR right now is a talk station. Yes, it carries WABC programming. But I started the rock format there that went for decades. And it catapulted me at a very young age, at 22 years old, to the morning show at WNEW-FM in New York, where
cool.
I hosted there. And that was those were very golden years. And one of the things that marked that kind of radio, Caleb, was that we did what's called raps. Not to be confused with the Michael Harrison rap, which is like gift wrapping, WRAP. Back in those days, we called them RAPs, which is sort of like rap music, but there was no rap music in those days. Rap was a hippie term for, you know, chewing the fat, talking, doing a monologue. You did a rap. And there was a lot of talk, and you talked about issues. This type of music radio dealt with the war in Vietnam and dealt with all kinds of demonstrations, and it was a very, very political format. So we were all becoming talk show hosts doing that. Over the period of time that passed, as AOR, my own creation, began to become more and more popular, the edicts came from management to shut up and play the music, stop talking so much. So those of us that really like to talk started to look at talk radio as being an interesting place to go. And I started to do back in 1975, I was the first one to do a youth-oriented talk issues show, youth-oriented, meaning 18 to 34. Of course, everybody's now in nursing homes, but 18 to 34 audience on a rock station. It was KMET in Los Angeles, and I launched a show on the weekend called Harrison's Mic. And it went for over 10 years, and that was the beginning of my venture into talk. And for many, many years, I was doing both talk and rock radio. I was a big player in the rock radio scene, but I was always fascinated by talk because I considered talk, and I still do, to be the black belt form of radio. Yeah, there's no higher level of being a talent on the air in a live situation than being in a talk show that deals with serious issues and mixes in light, funny, personality-oriented pop cultural issues as well. And that's where my passion lied.
And that's what I like about the Michael Harrison rap. We are speaking to Michael Harrison, who, among other things, hosts a weekend talk show heard on WPHM. And every now and then, you can pick up on your AOR roots. I believe I heard Ian Anderson a few weeks ago during one of your segments. He actually celebrated, a birthday this past week, is my understanding as well. So you still have ties with some of these artists that you used to spin on the radio, and now you're interviewing them.
Yes. I've known most of them over the years and still know some of them. Unfortunately, many of them are dead. And that's, one of the tragedies. One of the reasons that rock is not the prevailing format in music anymore is that most of its great practitioners have died. Either they died young or they just died of old age or somewhere in between through abuse of their lives. Mm. But we had John Lodge from the Moody Blues on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we actually started off the show this morning with a track from Days of Futures Past. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the Moody Blues.
Right. And I remember Days of Future Past when it was a brand new album. So one of the things, I've always maintained a youthful attitude. I don't sound like an old person in terms of, not having my pipes, as they say. But I'm a very futuristic, cutting edge type of a person, even to this day. So I don't trade in nostalgia. In other words, I'm not looking backwards. I'm looking forward. But I do believe that a knowledge of history helps us pioneer forward in terms of the unknown future. So I kind of combine my experiences in the past, my personal love of information in general, including history, but my eye is always on the future. And that's what takes up most of my thinking and most of my conversation on the radio is about where we're going, moving forward into the digital era, changes in technology create changes in sociology. We are having our brains rewired by modern communications. These are my major themes.
Michael, what is the future of this medium that we both love so much?
We're talking about radio, or are we talking about electronics communications?
Radio. What's the trajectory here?
Well, I think that the radio station is just a wonderful theater, and I hope that the concept of the radio station stays as long as possible. But there's no question that the digital era is moving a lot of what we call radio, the magic of radio programming, the way it's presented, the continuity of radio, the show business and information aspect mixed together, the grassroots aspect of radio. A lot of it is moving to the internet and podcasting and online broadcasting, and you have satellite radio. So we have to start thinking in terms of radio as not being exclusive to the AM and the FM dial. If the people that do radio and the people that listen to radio, the radio community, if you will, understand that, then radio will continue on in various expanded roles, but it will be digital, and you'll be able to listen to radio and everything from your smartphone to your refrigerator. Everything will be a listening device. That's what I see. I just see the 20th century paradigm of radio is on radio sets, television is on television sets. News comes in newspapers or magazines, that each medium is a separate appliance and system. I see that all blurring together over the next few years going forward into it just being media. And operations such as WPHM would be called media stations as opposed to radio stations, that they'll be oriented toward either audio or video, but they'll include audio, video, graphics, text, photography, all of that.
I think we're in a good position here as a radio station where we're already incorporating some of that stuff, whether it's doing some Facebook Live videos online, typing up news stories to put up on our website. Of course, a podcast, which you'll be able to listen to this on the podcast after our show was done this morning. So, it's basically a sink or swim. You're going to have to adapt or get left behind.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about podcasts, the whole concept of on-demand is becoming a prevalent methodology. Many of the years that I was growing up in radio, and a lot of those years we call the golden era, radio was ethereal. You would do the radio show, and that was the end of it. So much so that many stations never kept track of what they had. It's very difficult to find examples of old radio. That there's no museum which has an archive of every radio show. Most of them are gone out into the ether.
Yeah. You're right. This whole recording and playing back and podcasting thing is a relatively new concept when it comes to broadcasting. We're talking to Michael Harrison, host of the Michael Harrison Wrap. He's also the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine. You've been tracking trends, and we just talked about some of the trends that we've seen in media. What about the way that COVID-19 has changed how we consume the news? Has that sped up that online transition that you were talking about?
Yes, COVID-19 has sped up everything. When this thing is finally done, and we certainly hope it will eventually be in the rearview mirror, we will be 10 years forward, more so than we would have been had it not been for COVID-19, in terms of communications, in terms of that relationship between technology and sociology. It's speeding everything up, both in terms of progress, but also in terms of how fast things are happening and how many things are happening at the same time. Following the news and doing the news today is an exhausting 24/7 operation. There's no such thing as slow news days. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as weekends. Some of the biggest news happens on the weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah. Actually, here in Michigan, the trend has been the executive orders come out at about 5:30 on Friday night. mm-hmm. That's been the trend here locally, at least.
Well, that used to be called the news dump.
Yep.
When politicians wanted to bury the news and not have to suffer too much exposure for something negative, they would put the press releases out late afternoon or early evening on Fridays, knowing full well that news departments are slower and there won't be as much attention. It's not the case.
But it doesn't work anymore. No, it doesn't. Because we're always watching. I've got email on my phone, no matter where I'm at. I'm getting those mm-hmm. notifications. It's not like it was. Michael Harrison hosts the Michael Harrison Wrap, which is heard here noon to 1 on Saturdays. He is the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine. If any of our conversation has caught people's interest, in addition to listening to your show on WPHN, where can they find you online, Michael?
Talkers.com. That's a nice, easy one. Talkers.com is where we're headquartered. And we have all kinds of interesting things. It's basically for the industry. I do not mean this as a plug. We're a trade publication. We're mm-hmm. a digital era trade publication. We used to be a newspaper and a magazine in print, but about 10 years ago we switched digital only, and as part of our forward thinking progress. And, one of the interesting things about talk radio audiences, they are interested in what's going on behind the scenes. So if you're interested in what's going on behind the scenes in the industry of radio in general, not just talk, talkers.com. But it's not a fan magazine or mm-hmm. Something like that.
But it's a good aggregate. I get your daily emails. I read through them every day. It's a good aggregate of what's going on, not only in just the news industry and media as a whole, but specifically in the talk radio industry, which sounds like you're very bullish on, Michael Harrison.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The talk radio industry, in my opinion, I was the first one to call it an industry. It used to be just a sideshow. But talk radio as we know it, not just news talk, there's sports talk, there's medical talk, relationships talk. And there is really central and left of center talk as well out there if you look for it. It's not just all conservative, but commercial news talk is predominantly conservative. All of those things are, in my opinion, things that are keeping the First Amendment alive and well. My main political bent personally is supporting the First Amendment, free speech. Without that, we're not America.
Absolutely right. Yeah, we'll end the conversation on that optimistic note. Michael Harrison, thanks for joining us this morning on WPHM, and we'll be listening Saturday.
Thank you, Caleb.